Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lasseter, and Corey Labounty.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha. Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, I'm Corey Labounty, sitting in for the big guy, a.k.a. Rick Cleveland Santa Claus, enjoying time away with his family on this holiday weekend. And we just wish him the best on his safe travels and enjoying time with his family. Joined in the studio this morning by Coach Mark Lasseter, Dalton on the board, Philip on the phone lines, where you can give us a call this Christmas Eve at 251-343-0106. Jack Frost is nipping at our nose this morning, Coach, as I got into my car, I saw frost everywhere. Just want to say good morning to you and early Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas to Dalton, Philip, and Rick with his family and all you folks out there listening to us. We want you to know how much we appreciate y'all listening in with us every Saturday morning during the year. And it blesses our heart to know that you're listening to us. And we just want to wish all of y'all a very, very, very Merry Christmas. And you know, it's a great time of year. You know, I like it when I go outside and I see that frost on the ground. You know, last weekend I got to go spend Christmas with my family in Birmingham, and we got to share some stories about Christmas and things that I remember when I was growing up. And one that I very quickly remember was we moved in 1968. We moved from Fort Worth, Texas to St. Louis, Missouri. We move up there, and Mom and Dad were trying to convince me this is going to be a great place for us to live. And I had to leave my friends and all my buddies, and I didn't want to leave. And they kept saying, well, you're going to have a white Christmas when you get up there. You know, things, you know, and they were saying it might happen, not that it would. Well, the next winter, 1969, the winter of 69, Christmas Eve comes along and there's no snow. I'm really kind of down in the dumps. I'm just not going to lie to you. I was down in the dumps. And I kept complaining. Y'all said it was going to be white Christmas. And, you know, and Dad was telling me, no, son, it might be, but we don't know. I want you to know the next morning we got up and Mom was cooking, fixing some stuff for breakfast. We always have a big breakfast on Christmas. And it was me and my sister and my youngest brother wasn't born yet. But anyway, we're fixing it. We're eating. And while we're eating at the table, you look outside. We'd already done some Santa Claus. We look outside, and snow is falling. I want you to know it fell 8 inches that day.
Asking you shall receive.
That's right.
Coach.
We got sleds for Christmas, and that night we went to a big bonfire down at a lady's farm down the street, and they had hot chocolate and all kinds of cookies and goodies, and we went sledding down the hill behind on her farm. And that, you know, that's what Christmas is about, remembering those days and making this day, this Christmas, you know, hopefully one that you'll always remember.
Yeah, we want to remember Jesus is the reason for the season, and, you know, we don't hide away from sharing our faith here on the Prep Sports Report. So, you know, I'm sitting next to the left of me, a walking, talking miracle. So I know that, you know, Jesus is the reason for Coach Lasseter's season. But, you know, high school sports, you look at what has been occurring. You have football getting ready to wind up. We had the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star game this past Monday, in which the Alabama All-Stars lost to the Mississippi All-Stars for the second consecutive year by a score of 24-20. The game was played at the Crampton Bowl at 6:30 on Monday, and it kind of shocked me and surprised me a little bit because Alabama all-time at the Crampton Bowl had been 5-0 and finally took their first loss. Mississippi played an outstanding game, and hopefully to talk about the recruiting, the early signing recruiting period here a little later on in this first hour will be John Garcia Jr. from 24/7 Sports, one of the busiest men that you'll ever find writing about high school athletes nationally, not just here from Alabama or Auburn, but he covered the total gamut of the recruiting cycle. This early signing period, we'll hopefully get up with him and We'll talk a little boys basketball with Philip Murphy because there's been a lot of basketball tournaments that are ongoing throughout this holiday season. And, you know, just a lot of high school sports recapping here this next week. The last week or the last year in high school sports in 2018, it was a phenomenal one here along the Gulf Coast. So we'll be talking about that as well, Dalt.
Corey, you've been at the Mississippi-Alabama All-Star Game for, I guess, how many years have you been going to that?
I've been going the last 3 years. I've actually been able to attend.
In the last 2 years, they've had this early signing period start pretty much right after that game. Have you noticed anything different at the All-Star game? Any players sitting out or maybe fewer coaches in the stands with it wrapping up recruiting?
You know, I think the biggest thing as far as recruiters are concerned, no, not really, because that's the time to where these coaches are making their last push for the early signing period before it becomes a dead period for a couple of weeks, because this time now is a dead period to where there can't be any contact by the college coaches. But when you look at a couple of the Auburn commits, Bo Nix and George Pickens, Bo Nix being from Pinson Valley and George Pickens being from Hoover, George Pickens, to me, he has a body just like Julio Jones did in high school. And this young man finished with 9 catches for 155 yards and 2 touchdowns and proved to be the real deal. His head coach, Josh Niblett, was the head coach of the Alabama All-Stars. So I just was very impressed with George Pickens. Bo Nix, you know, he really targeted him, and for a reason. He could have thrown to the other wide receivers, but Nehemiah Pritchard from Jackson, he's also an Auburn commit, had an outstanding game, had maybe a 40-yard interception return and made it like 9 tackles. So there were some great things that went on in the game, but Alabama came up short, and that kind of surprised me, Coach.
Yeah, you know, that game is so, when you get all-stars together, sometimes things just really click well. Sometimes it doesn't. It depends on matchups and what you have on a team. Now, I've coached in one of those all-star games, not that game, but an all-star game, and it was kind of difficult to figure out what are the ingredients to help the offensive teams and the defensive team gel together in a one-week period. That's not an easy thing to do, and sometimes you just don't find that right rhythm. And, you know, in those games are usually pretty close. Somebody's going to be make a mistake or two, and the other team's going to win because you make a mistake or two. It's like any other, you know, really good football game you play in. Every coach you hear is going to say whoever makes the most mistakes, whoever most turnovers is going to lose the ball game, and that's usually what happens.
And, I mean, Alabama finished with 294 yards of total offense. 237 of those were through the air. But Mississippi finished with 390 total yards, 257 yards rushing. And I didn't think that was really going to happen against this vaunted Alabama defense that they had. And on paper, again, of course, I followed the Alabama-Mississippi All-Stars all season long and all year long, and don't really have an opportunity to see the Mississippi players too much besides the 4- and 5-star guys that you hear about on the recruiting services. But Mississippi just came in and found a way to get it done. And again, you're talking about the team chemistry. We'll talk with John Garcia Jr. about that, about how you're able to possibly sign with one school and try to persuade your teammates throughout the week to try to sign with whatever school it is you're going to as well. And there's certain team chemistry and certain bonds that are built throughout that week that can actually influence where these young kids actually wind up signing.
You know, I was just really I'm really impressed with how these coaches are able to intermingle with the kids on both sides in Alabama and Mississippi, how they can get with these kids and get to know them a little bit and make a, you know, a relationship that may last later on in life. But you're right, you know, those chemistries sometimes can be difficult to do, and sometimes it just meshes. You just never know, you know, with what you got coming in.
Yeah, my friend Carletta can tell you how important chemistry is with anything that you do. But you look at the Mobile Baldwin County early signees, Jerquan Scott, the tight end from Davidson, he signs with Southern Miss. Sheldon Lehman, the quarterback from McGill-Tulane, signed with Memphis. Cordell Flott, the defensive back, signs with LSU from Saraland. And A.J. Finley, the defensive back slash running back, from St. Paul signs with Ole Miss. So those are a few of the early local ones along the Gulf Coast that we had. Some of the bigger names that are going to wait until the February signing period. You look at DJ James from Spanish Fort and Christian Williams from Daphne deciding to hold off. That's kind of interesting when you start looking at the early signing period versus the later signing period. Do you really want to flip that commitment that you've made? And are those 2 months going to make a difference in you flipping the commitment?
Yeah, it could. You never know about kids these days and what may or may not happen. And, you know, Mississippi had a couple of players like that. They got a defensive lineman and a linebacker that were, I think they're waiting for the later signing date. So it could be, it'd be interesting to watch and see over the next couple of months.
You're listening to the Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5. Don't go anywhere. We'll be coming right back. Enjoy the Christmas music.
The CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. I'm Corey LeBounty, sitting in for the big guy, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lassiter, Dalton on the board, Philip on the phone lines, and there's nothing like some Nat King Cole.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. You ever had a chestnut?
I have not.
I have not either.
I don't think I've had a chestnut.
I don't think I've ever seen one. I've heard that song all my life and don't know what they are.
But I tell you what, I love hearing
I love
his
that
melody.
Song,
and I do love the song as well. And I know somebody else who loves that song and is in the Christmas spirit this morning. Joining us on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines is none other than the big guy himself, Rick Cleveland. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Corey. Good morning, Coach Mark.
Good morning, buddy.
Good morning. Good morning, Dalton.
Morning, Coach. Philip says good morning, too.
You know, guys, I just wanted to, first of all, I want to tell you how much I love you guys. And as we sit here in Atlanta, and as we visit with our family, I wanted to share kind of with you a dream that Lee Shavanian and some of his people there at WNST in Mobile had. I have to thank Ken Johnson and Wayne Gardner and all those folks there that had that dream of having a high school sports show 17 years ago. And there's so many people I want to thank for allowing us to have this run and to continue this run, a faith-based radio show that Corey, you've been a part of for so many years, pal, and Mark jumped on board with us, and it's been such a blessing for so many years. There's so many people we want to thank this morning. And first of all, I want to thank our sponsors and who have been so gracious to us to continue to support us and the ministry that this show has been to so many people. I want to thank Sean Sullivan and his family for what they've done to bring Prep Sports Report to people all over the Southeast. And I want to thank Radio Alabama for what those guys have done, Michael Brennan and Lee Pearman in Sylacauga. And most of all, I want to thank our Heavenly Father that He has allowed us to continue to do what we have done for these 17 years. And so, guys, most of all, you two guys, Corey and Mark, what great friends you are, and what a blessing it is to hear your voice on Saturday morning, and the listeners who have continued to support us through even a change in radio stations as we've moved from a great station at WNSD to an even greater station there at FM Talk 106.5. And guys, as I reflect upon it, as I sit here in Atlanta with Clay and Brooke and our grandchildren, it's such a blessing to know that we have a Heavenly Father who has guided us and supported us through this ministry that has touched us and so many other people. And you guys, I just want you to know that I hope you have a great, great, great Christmas. And you know, even the people that listen, those two guys that listen to us at the DoubleTree Hotel and right in the heart of Manhattan, I think of those guys as they turn on Prep Sports Report every Saturday morning, 52 weeks out of the year. And Mark and Corey, I hope you have a great, great Christmas and nothing but the best for your families and safe travels as you go to and fro. And just wanted you two guys to know that hearing your voice early on Saturday morning is blessing me as I'm miles away and we'll travel even a little bit further as we go down into Florida. But it's special, Prep Sports Report special, and thanks to all the coaches and that have supported our show and are part of our show 52 weeks out of the year. And just want you guys to know that I love you. And as I close this, I want to say it just the way we've done it for 17 years. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, He will always be with you. God bless you guys.
God bless you,
baby.
Love you, too.
Love you, too.
Look forward to seeing you soon, guys.
All right, buddy.
Likewise. Have a Merry Christmas, brother.
Have a Merry Christmas, Rick.
And be safe and tell the family we said hello. That's Rick Cleveland, who I have the pleasure of sitting in for when he's out here on the Prep Sports Report 52 weeks out of the year. And just want to tell him I love him as well. Joining us this morning on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines is who I call the busiest man in the recruiting business from 24/7 Sports, John Garcia Jr., so gracious with his time this Saturday morning. I know he has a lot going on, and there was a lot that went on nationally on this early signing period, National Signing Day. John, good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report.
Good morning, fellas. How in the world am I supposed to follow that up?
hey, look, I tell you what, Rick Cleveland's a great guy, and you are as well. And again, thank you for taking the time to respond to me this week, as I know that I text you on the busiest day of your season in regards to signing day. And let's look at this National Signing Day. You know, Alabama, the rich get richer on National Signing Day, as Alabama's able to get running back Trey Sanders, who predicts that he will win a Heisman while he's at the University of Alabama.
In
his freshman year, which is a very bold prediction. But, you know, let's talk about Alabama's signing class and who they were able to gain and how the rich get richer.
Yeah, I thought it was big on both fronts, Corey. Not only gaining prospects, obviously, anytime you add five stars, it's a big deal. Trey Sanders, number one running back in the country. Evan Neal, probably the number one uncommitted tackle in the country going into this week. So landing those two guys, who were also one-time commitments, which is, you know, it's kind of rare to do that, to cycle back and land them when it counts. Doing that is always important. But I thought Alabama did a good job of countering that with holding on to guys who, you know, there was a couple of question marks on late in the process, whether it was four-star defensive end Justin Eboigbe out of Atlanta. He was one who took a bunch of visits. I mean, Tennessee had some buzz with him, Florida, Miami, Georgia to some degree. And then maybe even a tougher guy to hold on to was Oxford, Mississippi native and defensive back Brandon Turnage, a guy who, you know, early in the day you lose a five-star safety. So keeping the next best one, in theory, a pretty big deal anyway, but especially when you consider that he's from Oxford and a lot of people thought that no matter what happened, he was going to end up at Ole Miss. So to hold on to those guys while going out and getting multiple five stars all on the same day, I thought it was basically a home run for Alabama. And like you said, the rich get richer. And we know that the February signing day is not too far off, and Bama's going to be in it for a lot of other big names as well. So pretty much an ideal point in time in the class of 2019 for Alabama, and they've got a chance to land, at least on paper, the best class in the history of recruiting club.
We have a couple minutes left before we have to go to commercial, and I want to try to hold you over if you're able to do so. I know one of the biggest losses for Alabama was Dax Hill. There's been a lot of talk on the message boards from Michigan fans who are happy that Michigan got one flipped recruit away from Alabama.
Well, yeah, with the day Michigan had yesterday, I think winning Dax Hill on Wednesday was big. This was a recruit who was committed to Michigan forever, basically the entirety of this 2018 football season. And then a couple weeks ago, he surprised a lot of folks, and he announces a flip to Alabama. That caught a lot of people, including me, off guard. Just didn't expect that. He's a quiet kid. You expect those kids to kind of commit and be done with it. But obviously, Dax wasn't quite done. So he flips to Alabama, and then, again, kind of quietly, unexpectedly, Michigan announces him at like 8 a.m. on Wednesday as a signee, which is obviously official. So basically a flip of a flip, and perceptionally that was huge for Jim Harbaugh, because really they had a rough week. So that was a needed early high point to kind of quell perception there, because the rest of the recruiting class didn't go so good for Michigan. And like we said, Alabama rebounded, and they ended up flipping an Ohio State commitment in the defensive backfield and holding on to their prize safety in Brandon Turnage. So numbers-wise, not a huge deal for Alabama, but obviously five-star going somewhere else when you thought you were getting them is still considerable news, and it'll be interesting to follow those guys in college.
John Garcia Jr. from 24/7 Sports joining us. And John, will you be able to hold on through this Christmas break and talk to us about Auburn and the national signing day that they had, as well as some other national recruits after the break?
Yeah, let's hang tight. We're good.
John Garcia Jr. coming right back on the flip side of this break. You're listening to the Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5.
The Prep Sports Report Radio Network. It's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance.
Christmas comes this time each year.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Corey LeBounty, Mark Lasseter, Dalton running the board, Philip on the phone lines. You can give us a call at 251-343-0106 on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication lines. It's John Garcia Jr. right now from 24/7 Sports, and he's done an outstanding job. And if you haven't followed him on Twitter, you need to go ahead and do so, because his tweets and his knowledge of high school sports and high school recruiting is just phenomenal, second to none, especially with now there being an early signing period in December and a later signing period in February. We were talking about the rich getting richer with Alabama. We're going to flip over to the Auburn side now, and you look at the struggles that Gus Malzahn has had this year, but he was able to hold on to a pretty strong recruiting class, even though things, you know, his back is against the wall.
Absolutely. You know, all things considered, Auburn had kind of a sneaky good day nationally, right on the verge of the top 10 in the final rankings, you know, following this early signing period, which, you know, that's a huge deal. Ahead of Ohio State, ahead of Florida State, ahead of some schools that we expect, ahead of USC, schools we expect to be top 10 every single year. And that's what Gus Malzahn and company were able to really salvage. And we talked about it earlier with Alabama. Even more so with Auburn, how important was it to just hold on to guys? Whether it was, I mean, we knew Bo Nix was going to be good to go, but holding on to a guy like Jarrett Handy, who wasn't even planning on signing early, you convince him to sign early out of Mississippi, and he does. You go out and get another four-star edge player in Mississippi with Derek Hall, another guy who we weren't sure if he was going to sign early. Not only do you get him to sign, but obviously you get him committed to Auburn. And then there were two in-state guys who were getting a lot of attention from other schools who you convinced to sign early, again, sort of against their initial plan. And Nehemiah Pritchett down there at Jackson High School, cornerback, as well as Javarius Johnson, who nearly set the state receiving record as a senior at Hewitt-Trussell. So those things were huge for Auburn, but I think the biggest one was going down to Florida and getting the hottest running back prospect in the country late in the game. DJ Williams, the nephew of Edgerrin James, the former, you know, All-Pro and Miami running back, just a big physical guy who fans in that state, you know, if you're looking for a comparison, I had to do a scouting report for 24/7 Sports, and I watched his tape, and the first guy who popped into my head, Josh Jacobs, the Alabama running back. That's the type of skill set, and a similar path in high school. Best athlete on his team, forced to play quarterback, but you see so many glaring running back traits. Thick lower body, great balance, enough speed in the open field, and some power behind his pads as well. So imagine when he concentrates full time at the running back position. I think this could be a boom recruit for Auburn, who has kind of struggled the last year or so at the running back position. So I think DJ Williams comes in and has an immediate impact at Auburn, and he's enrolling here in just a few weeks. So the timing couldn't be better for Gus Malzahn and company. An excellent job considering perception going into the week.
John, you just mentioned DJ Williams. Are there any other players in this class you think might be able to have an immediate impact for the Tigers? Bo Nix, you think he might be able to compete for that starting job, or maybe Owen Papo over on the defensive side?
Yeah, I think both guys will have a shot, in particular Bo. And I think, obviously, availability is a big part of any freshman coming in and having a shot, right? You need to have kind of an opportunity. But what separates Bo for me is just how mature and ready for this it seems like he's always been. I mean, I met him as a high school freshman, and I thought he was older. I mean, he's just always had this aura about him, this mature, strong leadership, just a quarterback from birth, really. Groomed for this moment. Son of a coach, as everybody knows. And again, this isn't just, oh, well, he's, you know, mentally been ready to go, so that'll help him out. Well, physically, a good athlete, 6'2", 215 pounds, and all he did in high school was win two state championships and set the yardage and touchdown record in the history of this great state of Alabama. So if there's ever anybody ready, whether it's on the field, off the field, the connections to Auburn, all of that, in addition to the job being an open competition and Bo enrolling here in a couple of weeks, that's the guy. That's the guy for me. And I would be somewhat surprised if come August, September, Bo Nix isn't really the talk of the freshman class in the SEC already by that point. I think he's that good. He's the most college-ready quarterback to play day one that I've scouted in the state of Alabama. And that goes back to the McCarron, the Jameis Winstons of the world included. You know, I think he's that talented mentally and physically.
You know, I was wondering a couple of questions for you, John, was about UAB. They've had a great season, you know, this year. Bill Clark's done a great job up there. I know last year when they were out recruiting, they brought in a lot of JUCO guys and did some good recruiting in our area with the Johnson boys. And so I was just kind of wanted to see what your thoughts were on their recruiting season this year.
Yeah, UAB has always kind of done their own thing in recruiting, and it's working, obviously. You know, you lose a program, you got to bring it back with junior college guys, with guys who are maybe recruited at different positions with other schools that you can sell on doing what they want to do, which I think was big, you know, with the Johnston kids, as you mentioned, down there. But in this class, you're starting to see kind of the progress towards, I guess, I don't want to say normalcy, because for UAB, normal is just getting guys who can contribute.
Right.
So they're still going to go to that JUCO well, but maybe not as much going forward. And now they're in position to win battles straight up against Power 5 programs. That's something that I don't know if we've ever really considered with UAB. And you don't have to look much further than the Birmingham area to see that, whether it's transfers, JUCO guys, all of that. But, you know, most importantly, I thought late in the cycle, you go out and get a left tackle type in Jamie Simmons out of Thompson High School, who is a legit SEC, ACC prospect. Nebraska came hard late for him. I mean, he had options in the Power 5 everywhere, but he's a Birmingham kid. They got him on the official visit, and he was done. He didn't take any more official visits. So it's not just the ability to get guys who are overlooked. It's the ability to sell guys on staying home on that first impression. So Bill Clark and company are doing it in basically every way, shape, and form. And you're seeing the results that have come out of it. So I don't think that evaluation strategy will change. And I think this is just the beginning of them contending with Power 5 programs for kids in the state of Alabama in particular. They won multiple battles like that with Simmons being kind of a surprise on signing day. He is an excellent offensive tackle prospect who I envision starting for multiple years with the Blazers.
We're speaking with John Garcia Jr. from 24/7 Sports. Does a wonderful job, and to me, the best job covering high school football recruiting year-round. If you want to follow him, you can do it at @John_Garcia_Jr. And again, John, when you look at it from a national standpoint, I'm kind of biased down here to Mobile, Alabama, and the Gulf Coast and all the talent that comes from this area. And I think NFL per capita, it speaks volumes that from the Mobile, Alabama fan base of how many players that we have in NFL from Mobile, Alabama. But when you look at the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star game and some of the guys who came in and had an impressive week, George Pickens from Hoover, Christian Williams deciding to sign late, still an Alabama verbal commit. DJ James has verbally committed to Mississippi State, but of course, Nick Saban comes knocking in a lot of other schools. Talk about some of those Alabama-Mississippi All-Star participants and what you saw out of them this past week.
Well, it's hard to look past the last guy you mentioned there, DJ James. Probably outside of Pickens, who's ridiculous wherever he goes, probably had the best week of anybody at that event. And you're seeing immediately results. You mentioned Nick Saban a couple weeks ago went down to spend time with him at Spanish Ford High School. He doesn't sign with Mississippi State last week or this past week during the early signing period. And just last night, Oregon and Nebraska come in with scholarship offers. So everybody who maybe missed out on a cornerback or didn't hit the numbers they thought they wanted to, DJ James is one of these guys that's going to boom because he didn't sign early. It could end up with a green light from Alabama one day. It could end up with him ending up at Mississippi State, where he's been committed for a long time, but he's going to have other opportunities, and he's already told us he's going to take visits. I expect Alabama and Oregon, at least those two, to host him for official visits. So he's going to ramp up, and I think the biggest thing with him is his measurable. You know, he was a kid who was popular early in his career, but a smaller guy, 5'9", 5'10", or so. He's much closer to 6 foot now with legitimate pure corner traits in terms of his fluidity, his top-end speed, ball skills, and physicality. So I think as teams cycle back to that evaluation and look at him for what he is right now, it's easier to see that type of projection panning out at the Power 5 level down the road. So you kudos to Mississippi State for getting in early, but I think it's going to be a battle for DJ James down the stretch. He was ultra impressive during the week. He was one of the few guys who could actually guard George Pickens and cover him a little bit. And then in the game, I thought he served pretty well as well, going against some SEC receivers and really not giving up anything. He's kind of on the ascent, both with us and certainly with college coaching staffs, as reference to Nick Saban's interest and some new offers coming in. He's the hot name, I think, going forward in the state of Alabama.
John, we got just a couple minutes left here with you. I want to know, what schools underperformed in the early signing period? I know Miami fans, Florida State fans, probably not the happiest with where they ended up in the final rankings following early signing period. And Ohio State, not quite as high as we're used to seeing them with Urban Meyer in charge.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of hit the big ones right there on the head. I'm from Miami. I'm from the state of Florida. I've never seen – there's a seesaw always, right? One school's up, the other schools are quote-unquote down, but even the down that we talk about is still top 10 type recruiting classes. You know, it's usually on the field when we talk about the seesaw, but right now Florida State and Miami are down. Like, it's a level we haven't really seen. Those guys have always been able to recruit, but it seems like they were losing guys left and right, and even the Gators to some degree, losing guys left and right from the state, with guys leaving the state of Florida, which is obviously, it tells you how strong the region is, right? Alabama, Georgia, Clemson. These schools live and breathe in the state of Florida, so that's partially to blame as well. But I think Miami and Florida State have a lot of work to do to mend this class, but there is time, and I think that's the benefit for those guys. You still kind of expect them to figure it out just because of the history, tradition, location, all of those things. But Ohio State, to me, has to be the most interesting. You know, this is one that we expect to be top five every single year. Say what you want about Urban Meyer, heck of a recruiter, maybe the second best head coach recruiter in the last decade, behind Nick Saban, of course. Maybe he's that. And to lose multiple guys on signing day at priority positions, we just mentioned South Florida, Jordan Battle, the DB, flips from Ohio State to Miami, and then more importantly, Georgia loses Justin Fields, and it's like the next day they go out and get a dual threat quarterback from Michigan committed to Ohio State. Like, you couldn't even make this up in terms of that DeJuan Mathis recruitment. Nobody saw that coming in the days leading up to National Signing Day. So we're used to Ohio State landing big fish, and they still did land a five-star Wednesday in Zach Harrison, but we're not used to seeing them lose guys either in their backyard, technically, like DeJuan Mathis, or from my primary pipeline, like South Florida has become for Ohio State, and specifically St. Thomas Aquinas High School, the same high school that the Bosas went to, obviously. So so I think losing guys like that is very uncharacteristic of Ohio State, and I think it could be a sign of things to come without Urban Meyer at the helm. I think everybody got comfortable viewing that perception, but obviously it's changing.
It has, and
the kids took notice and took action.
Well, John, I tell you what, I want to hold you for two more minutes right after this commercial break because I know you have a busy Saturday, have a national question for you, and then we'll let you go. You're listening to the Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m.
Wow! Mom is kissing Santa Claus!
Back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey Labounty.
Nothing like a little Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5 getting
Jackson
started.
5.
That's right, Coach. It doesn't get any better than that.
I heard them on the little 45 record player I had when I was a kid.
I love it, man. Like you said, just those Christmas memories and, you know, memories that will be made for these high school athletes down the line. John Garcia Jr. works for 24/7 Sports, and he does an outstanding job 365 days out of the year keeping up with high school recruiting, and we know how big it's become, and John does a wonderful and outstanding job, not here just locally, but on the national standpoint of each and every school, just knowing who those recruits are, and it's our privilege to have him joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report. Want to thank him for taking time out of his busy schedule, and as we were talking off the air, we were talking about 24/7 Sports rankings, and the top four were Alabama, Georgia, Texas A&M, and LSU from a recruiting class standpoint in this early signing period. Let's show Texas A&M a little love and LSU as well, getting the job done along with Kirby Smart.
Absolutely. I mean, hey, you know, the whole SEC is dead thing, I don't think is going to get any legs anytime soon. Yeah, top four classes in the country. All SEC. I mean, Georgia pushed Alabama for number one, and Georgia beat Bama straight up for multiple elite kids, whether it was N'Kobe Dean on signing day, the linebacker out of Mississippi, or Clay Webb from the state of Alabama, which was definitely a big deal earlier this month. But A&M and LSU, it's almost like you don't expect them to be that highly rated, especially A&M. I mean, this is really the first full cycle for Jimbo Fisher in College Station, and I think kind of the region's worst fears are beginning to be realized in going against Jimbo, who's another one of these guys who's a top five, top 10 head coach recruiter. And I think he's starting to combine, you know, his past with his present in terms of how he recruits. At Texas A&M, obviously, you have to recruit the state of Texas. You have to get into Louisiana. But when you factor in guys from the Southeast and the state of Florida in particular, which is kind of an overlaying theme here as to why some of these in-state schools in that state aren't doing so hot, well, Jimbo Fisher's going to Florida and getting kids. And he even flipped one from Florida State, ironically enough. That's got to be the Fisher flip. That's got to have its own term, considering that's his old school. But that's where it gets scary if you're A&M. Everybody knows about the resources there. Everybody knows about his pedigree, national champion, offensive guy. But if he's able to compete in Texas and still go pick and prod nationally, especially in the state of Florida and the Southeast, kind of the scary formula. I think that's part of the reason why he took that job, the ceiling of that job with those resources and being in the SEC is about as good as it gets, and I think that's what we're seeing immediately. I think we expect to see it, but maybe not, you know, 15 months into his tenure or whatever it is. That's really impressive for Jimbo. And then LSU, Ed Orgeron, the biggest deal for them every year. Can we keep our elite guys home? Now, there's still one big fish out there who's signing on signing day, and Bama's going to have a lot to say about Ishmael Sopcich when that happens, but to this point, with those guys who were signing early, LSU did an ideal job of keeping the in-state guys home. Their top guy, Derek Stingley, number one corner in the country, arguably, they locked him in early. And then they lost one in-state to Georgia, a running back, John Emery, another five-star. Well, guess what? They stuck with it, got him flipped over, and he signs with LSU. So these are the things that cost Les Miles his job. These are the things that cost Ed Orgeron some early hot seat rumors, not keeping guys in state. Just look at Alabama's roster, right? Devontae Smith, Dylan Moses, Fedarian Mathis, Isaiah Bug, all Louisiana guys. This year, they're doing the opposite. They are keeping guys in state again. Big battle ahead February 6th, but to this point, an ideal job for LSU. And we all know if LSU keeps in-state talent home, they're going to be close to the top every single time. So the SEC is live and well. The surprise is Jimbo Fisher, and the guy on the upswing, definitely Ed Orgeron at LSU, and it results in four of the top four classes in America all being from the SEC. A quick other shout-out, number five in the rankings, Mario Cristobal in Oregon.
Yeah.
When's the last time they won the Pac-12, highest-rated non-SEC school in America? These new coaches are not wasting any time. That's the theme, right? Fisher, Orgeron, heck, even Kirby Smart, Cristobal. These guys are not tenured coaches, yet they're getting immediate returns, and that's why recruiting is so important in college football.
Well, I tell you what, John Garcia Jr. has done a wonderful job. John, just want to thank you for taking the time out this morning to join us on the Prep Sports Report. And if everyone wants to follow your outstanding and phenomenal coverage, how can they do so?
Yeah, 247sports.com. Every single day, like the name suggests, we'll be on there. And there's still a lot going on. All these guys who signed, we're going to see them in action at the Under Armour All-America game, the All-American Bowl in Texas. We're going to see these guys in action. Still a lot of guys who didn't sign, about 30% of the country, including a lot of highly rated guys. So we'll be covering that all the way through February. And, of course, never too early to look ahead to that junior class, which is something we've been doing for quite a while already. So the recruiting fix, easily satisfied there, 247sports.com. We'll take care of it for you.
Well, I tell you what, John, we'll have to have you on before National Signing Day again in February to kind of recap these all-star games that are getting ready to occur. And then we'll flip back and we'll look forward to 2020 because, like you said, 2019 is upon us and it's never too late to start looking at these 2020 kids and where they're leaning and are committed to verbally as well. So thanks again so much, John. Want to wish you a very, very Merry Christmas from the Prep Sports Report, and thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule this Saturday morning to join us.
Absolutely, fellas. Appreciate everything you guys do in that community. Mobile is one of my favorite places on planet Earth, and you guys are a big reason why. So Merry Christmas to you. Happy
Merry
holidays,
Christmas.
All that good stuff. Happy New Year if we don't talk until then. And, let's dig into it whenever y'all want.
Sounds good.
John Garcia Jr. doesn't get any better than that from 24/7 Sports. Again, just his outstanding high school football coverage. 24/7 Sports is where you can go and follow him. And I'll follow him on Twitter and talk with him about all the recruiting aspects that are coming in. And like he said, the second signing period now coming up February 6th. We have a lot of local guys who did not sign. Ladarius Cox is verbally committed to Tennessee. Will he flip? You look at Christian Williams. He's verbally committed to Bama. He attends Daphne High School. Will he stay solid or will he flip? DJ James, he talked about him from Spanish Fort, just continued to enhance his stock, Coach Lassiter. So February 6th, the second part of National Signing Day coming up quickly.
Absolutely. And the big one, I think, is the lineman out of Louisiana, Softser, Ishmael Softser. He is a tremendous football player. And right now I think he's kind of a LSU lean. Alabama's in the picture, and that ought to be quite a fight for get that young man to sign either school. But I think he's kind of an LSU lean right now. And it's going to be fun to watch.
We'll be keeping an eye on it, and we'll keep you posted on the Prep Sports Report. Want to thank everybody for listening to hour number one right here on the Prep Sports Report. The big guy, Rick Cleveland, was able to call in. We want to show him a lot of love and wish him a lot of love with his family as he's out of town. It's hour number two coming up on the Prep Sports Report. Don't go anywhere.
Live on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network. It's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance.
Out of all the reindeers, you know you're the mastermind. Run, run, Rudolph. Randolph ain't too far behind. Run, run, Rudolph.
Welcome back to to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. And in hour number one, Rick Cleveland was able to join us along with John Garcia Jr. And I tell you what, welcome to Mobile, Alabama, everyone who is in town for the Dollar General Bowl. It's going to be the Buffalo team taking on Troy today at Lab People Stadium
tonight.
I think
it's at 6 o'clock.
At 6 o'clock. And I know there's an All-American who has some local ties with Troy. Troy's Carlton Marshall Jr. was named a freshman All-American, and this is a special young man from McGill-Tulane High School. Really one of my favorite players of all time coming out of high school, because he always kept a smile on his face and never ceased to amaze me, the type of excitement, enthusiasm he had for the game. An undersized linebacker, but with his situation, he was a walk-on at Troy, earned a scholarship, and now is an All-American. So kudos to Carlton Marshall and his family and the Troy Trojans today.
You know, I'm really looking forward to this game, and I've been saying it since they announced Buffalo and Troy were playing. I think this is the best matchup in the Dollar General Bowl in years.
Neither do.
Buffalo, who was 1 point from winning the MAC championship, they're 10-3 this year. Then you got Troy, who's 9-3, and probably would have had a much better record if Caleb Barker, the starting quarterback, didn't go down with a torn ACL.
And then one of their big receivers got hurt. He was out for, I know he was out for the App State game, and he was out for two or three games, and he'll play on Sundays probably next year.
And, Coach, I know you have close ties to today's game, and anytime you can get family involved, it's always a plus.
Oh, yeah. Landon's going to be out there tonight, and he'll be on the sideline hoping he gets everybody in that ready box so Coach Brown doesn't chew him out again for not having enough people on field and special teams.
Yeah, Coach, and I know who you're pulling for tonight, and yep. I spent 2 years at Troy University, so I know who I'm pulling for. But Buffalo, they've got some ballers on their team. So if you're watching the game tonight, just check out the quarterback, Tyree Jackson. He's a really, really good player.
He's huge.
He's massive. And the receiver, Anthony Johnson, who had just a massive year this year for Buffalo. So I'm really looking forward to tonight's game.
No doubt about it, Dalton. Somebody who I always am looking forward to talking to is my good friend Crystal Johnson, joining us on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines. Crystal is the head girls basketball coach at Hoover High School. 2 years she won, 2 years ago, she won the state championship, and I know her Hoover Later Bucks are hungry again. They have the Big Orange Tournament going on in Hoover. It's one of the top and premier girls basketball tournaments from a JV and varsity standpoint in the entire state of Alabama. Good morning, Crystal. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Crystal, talk to us about your Lady Bucks team. Number one in Class 7A in the Alabama Sports Writers Association polls that just came out. I know you have that one loss, but you're looking to learn from that one loss and getting to know your team here at the halfway point in the season. Talk to us about the progress of your team.
Well, we're a lot smaller than your traditional Hoover teams. You know, Hoover's normally have at least 3 or 4 6-foot people or taller, and this year we're kind of guard-oriented. We actually only have one person who is a natural post player. So for me, that's very different because, you know, I was post player, so I love having my post. But it makes us a lot faster. We can do a lot of different things on the defensive end as far as we can go man, we can go zone, we can apply pressure. And I think that's the thing that's made us so successful so far, is that we do so many different things offensively, defensively, and we have so many different threats. We have 11 players, and I could confidently say I know at least 8 of them will play at the next level. So that's always a blessing to have talent, and then the fact that they are willing to work hard just makes it even better.
Being at Hoover High School, being able to play at Hoover, then having an opportunity to coach there, I know makes it a lot more special. But, Crystal, tell us some of those young ladies' names who are really contributing and who we'll be seeing here in the later part of January as February rolls into our area tournament play.
Well, all 4 of our seniors contribute. We have Joya Maddox, who signed with Rutgers University. Maya Kimber, who signed with the University of West Alabama, Skylar Knight, who signed with the University of Arkansas Little Rock, and then we also have Melanie Hall, who is arguably one of the fastest players in the state. Juniors, we have Janae Hubbard and Madison Adamson. Sophomores, we have 3, Jada Knight, who is Skylar Knight's little sister, Rachel Hager, who is that one true post player I was talking about. She's 6'2", has a nice shot, nice touch. And then we have Karina Garcia Martinez. And then we also have one freshman whose name is Anaya Hubbard. She's a little sister of Janae Hubbard. And we have an eighth grade point guard who actually starts for us. Her name is Renaya Kelly. She's definitely one of the top prospects in the nation in her class.
Crystal, it sounds like the cupboard's definitely not bare, but talk to us from a coaching standpoint, the type of motivation when you guys get upset in the regional finals a year ago, having that motivation or that bitter taste, using that as motivation not only in the off season, but as the season has come upon us now and you're starting to play that, do you take it personally or do you have to challenge your girls or do they realize what the end game and the ultimate goal is themselves?
I think they definitely realized. I think last year we were so highly favored to win state that when we got upset, it was just a huge blow to everybody. Our seniors that came back kind of just said, you know, that's not happening again. And as a coaching staff, we decided we were going to make sure our schedule was as competitive as possible. You know, it doesn't feel good to go 30-2 and have nothing to show for it. So we made sure this year we went out and scheduled as many tough games as we could. We played St. Francis already, who's nationally ranked. We traveled to Hazel Green. That's where that one loss came in. And, I mean, it's a loss, but at the same time, playing at Hazel Green is very hard. If anybody's been there, you know it's hard to walk out of there with a win. And so we also got Northview out of Georgia coming up. And next week we actually traveled to Charleston, South Carolina, playing the Carolina Invitational. And it'll be a lot of the top teams on the East Coast there.
So today you conclude the Big Orange Tournament that's being held in Hoover. Tell us what teams are participating in it and what time your team plays today. And, again, just tell us a little bit more about the Lady Bucks. You talked about the East Coast Tournament that you're going to have and your concluding area tournament schedule also.
So the Big Orange, we had some local teams and we had some teams from around Alabama. We also had some out-of-state teams. Locally, we had Bessemer City, of course, us, Homewood, Westminster, and McAdory. We also had Sydney Lanier out of Montgomery, and we had Auburn, Tuscaloosa County, and then from out of state, we had Lee County out of Georgia, and we had Lebanon out of Tennessee. So we tried to cover, you know, and then out of North Alabama, we had Lee Huntsville. We tried to make sure we had competition from everywhere. We do pool play first, and then how you finish in your pool determines your bracket. So we actually play against Westminster, Oak Mountain, in the gold bracket semifinals today at 11, and there's a lot of other games going on today, varsity and JV. And then if we win, we will play the winner of Auburn and Lebanon. I know Auburn is ranked in the state too, and Lebanon is a real good team out of Tennessee, coached by Corey Barrett, who has a lot of coaching experience, and we actually went to their tournament over Thanksgiving. So we're looking forward to the last day of Big Orange Classic, get some rest. I still got some Christmas shopping to do. And then the day after Christmas, we actually have practice at 8:30 in the morning, and then we are leaving for Charleston. We play South Point out of South Carolina the first day, and it's a lot of different competition. I know Mail from Kentucky will be there. Heritage out of Florida will be there. It's a lot of different teams that'll be up there. But basically, I asked them to put us in the hardest bracket possible, so we could be ready for area play when we get back. You know, we play all six of our area games in January, and we mix in some competition in the midst of our area games because we play Northview out of Georgia, who's a real good team with like 3 or 4 D1 prospects. So in the midst of us playing our area, which consists of Oak Mountain, Tuscaloosa County, and Thompson, we've also mixed in some other games too to make sure we're ready for the playoffs.
Crystal Johnson, the head girls basketball coach at Hoover High School. Thank you for joining us this morning on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines. Just want to wish you a very Merry Christmas to you and your family. Tell Mimi and Gerard I said hello and that I love them. And just thank you for all that you're doing for high school girls basketball up there at Hoover.
You are very welcome, and Merry Christmas to you guys, too, and Roll Tide.
Roll Tide, roll, Crystal. Crystal Johnson, the head girls basketball coach at Hoover High School. She's an Alabama grad, and just love watching her play when she was a player and win the state championship up there at Hoover. And look forward to watching them to see what they're able to do, see if they're able to finish up the season strong like she wants them to. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5. Coming up next, we'll talk a little boys high school basketball with the head coach at McGill Tulane, Philip Murphy, right here on the Prep Sports Report.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
Candles burning low, lots of mistletoe.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. I'm Corey LaBounty, sitting in for the big guy, Rick Cleveland, who is enjoying his Christmas vacation with his family in Atlanta. Coach Mark Lasseter, Dalton on the board, Philip on the phone lines. You can give us a call at 251-343-0106. That's 251-343-0106. We'll love to hear from you. And we want to take this opportunity to wish Philip Murphy a Merry Christmas on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication lines. Coach, thanks for taking the time to join us this morning on the Prep Sports Report.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Merry Christmas.
Coach, you know, boys basketball is in full swing. You look at your team here playing in a couple of tournaments and getting ready for almost what you call the second third of your season, getting ready to start that third of your season finale. And tell us a little bit about how your team's doing thus far and what your expectations are.
Well, our expectations are always high. We've had a great start. We started off 7-1. Then we added football guys back from the field to start what I call our second season. We are currently 10-4. We've lost three of the last five as we're trying to put it all back together. But we've had a nice week of practice trying to figure out some things through film and what our identity is. And I feel really good moving forward. We're headed to Orlando on the 26th to play at the Windmere Prep and the Rock Classic there and get some good competition. So we got three more games in this second season, as I call it, to put it together, get ready for area play when we return.
Matthew McNeese was honored as the Optimist Club, the Crichton Optimist Club Player of the Week, having 10 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 1 block. Like you said, Coach, in your tweets, the kid is an absolute winner. He gets it done, and he's a young man who's paid his dues on this McGill Tulane varsity team.
Yeah, I mean, it's a kid that, you know, won a state championship as a starter, as a freshman, and he's carried us back there his sophomore and junior seasons as well. And if you come watch his play, if you're just a casual basketball fan, he's probably not going to stick out to you because he does a lot of the dirty work. He's averaging 10 points a game, 9 rebounds, 1 block, 3 assists, and 2 steals. He fills the stat sheet up. But he's not a real flashy guy or showy guy. So the real basketball enthusiasts notice him and notice how good he is.
Coach, who all is this? This is Mark. I want to ask you a question about your area. Who's in your area this year?
Ours is Murphy, Foley, and Fairhope.
Okay, Murphy, Foley. I watched I watched Fairhope play, Thursday in the Admirals Classic Tournament. And they got a couple of good little players, little freshmen guard and a guy that I didn't know they were on the team. I'd watched them play, and it looks like you got a pretty good little area there.
Yeah, they're good. Fairhope's definitely strong. They're young, like you said. They've got two freshmen that are starting, and their leading scorer, Riley Leonard, is a sophomore. They can really shoot the ball, so they're going to present some challenges for us for sure. And that's what we're getting ready for in this off time before we get started with area play.
You mentioned going down to Orlando, Florida. I know Mountain Brook and Bucky McMillan and them had a huge national win over IMG Academy in the City of Palms tournament, and I know you're very familiar with Mountain Brook, but that just puts basketball in the state of Alabama on the map. I know it helps to have a player like Trendon Wofford, but at the same time, for Alabama to be thought about as a football-only state, you and I both know that's just not the truth.
No, it's not. And that was very exciting to see Mount Brook did that. And, you know, Tristan had quite a game. I believe he ended up with 38 points and 18 rebounds, something crazy like that. But no, it was great. And, you know, speaking of that, you know, getting on the national scene, we just yesterday received an invitation next year to go to the Tournament of Champions in Peoria, Illinois, which is a big time tournament. So we're excited to spread that as well for Alabama and our basketball.
Coach, I know you're so passionate about the game of basketball and so passionate about MAC-T basketball, and you've just continued to do what it takes from individual player development, taking your football guys in, and, you know, when you get that month in June to utilize that time with your team and create some type of identity, you've done an outstanding and wonderful job of doing that and knowing what your personnel is, because so many coaches, when you get those football guys in like you've done the last two or three years in late and having a totally different team changing the dynamic of it, I just think that speaks to the ability of you and your assistant coaches to be able to help the team to adapt and adjust and not be selfish but buy into that team first mentality that you strive to get.
Well, I think you said the right thing. Assistant coaches, I've got four coaches that have been with me for 8 years. That consistency and what they bring to the table is the reason that we're able to stay consistent on the floor and consistently win games.
Coach Murphy, I mean, moving forward, when you look past the Orlando tournament that you guys are traveling down to, you jump probably back into area play and then non-area play to begin the new year. Talk to us about what's on the horizon for the MAC-T Swarm program here at the beginning of January.
Well, we come back, we'll get back on New Year's Day, and the next day we will travel to Foley for our first area game, and then we will host a young and talented Spanish Fort team on Friday the 4th. And then that next week we'll open back up with area play. We've got Fairhope and Murphy in that second week. So we're going to hit the ground running there in January, and hopefully we'll be revved up and ready to go.
Well, I tell you what, Coach, just with your type of energy and enthusiasm, you don't have to worry about your team being revved up and ready to go, because I know one person who definitely is, and that's you as the head coach, and that's where it starts and trickles on down to your assistant coaches and your players and even your managers and trainers, Coach. So I appreciate your passion for the game of high school basketball and for McGill-Tulane basketball, and thank you for joining us every other Saturday on the Prep Sports Report for this Swarm segment, and we look forward to talking to you in a couple of weeks to see how your team's doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, thanks for having me on, and Merry Christmas to all you guys.
Merry Christmas, Coach.
Merry Christmas, Coach. And that's Philip Murphy, the head boys basketball coach at McGill-Tulane. His team is ranked number 10 in the most recent Alabama Sports Writers Association poll. He mentioned them being 10-4, trying to get back on track. Joining us now on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines is the one and only David. David, Merry Christmas to you, my brother.
Merry Christmas to you guys and everybody across the state of Alabama.
Merry Christmas, buddy.
Tell us what you got going on at CNC Financial Auto Sales this Christmas time and going into the New Year's also.
Well, we'll be expecting people. We've been selling some cars lately, taking some orders, filling a few orders. But we're waiting on the first of the year. I've noticed a few of these tax companies are offering on the second, they'll do up to $6,000 cash advances on your tax refund. So when you get your money, we're the place to come see. I can promise you I can get you riding. That is our goal.
David, just want to thank you for all that you do and presenting those wonderful opportunities to the consumers, because everybody's in the market. If you have a new car, then you're looking to buy for your kid for graduation that's coming up, maybe for Christmas, just trying to get that great deal at the beginning of the year. They can do so at CNC Financial and Auto Sales. Also, the party bus is available. Now's a great time. Maybe they want to bring in the new year on the party bus or have a particular party. Tell us about that party bus also.
The party bus has been with some the owner's daughter's running it now. We're looking to get a lot more business. It's been rolling lately. And the best part about our party bus is we don't have a minimum. We don't have a set price. You tell us exactly what you want to do, and we're going to work out a very reasonable and affordable trip let you guys have fun while we take the wheel.
Appreciate you, David. As always, again, want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and enjoy yourself with your family.
You too, guys, and thanks for everything you guys do for prep sports around the Southeast. Have a great Christmas
And I look forward to talking to y'all next year.
All right, yes, buddy. Sir. Merry Christmas, pal.
Merry Christmas to all of y'all. Thank you.
Hey, Corey, before we get off, we were just talking a little bit of basketball. I'm sure we'll get back to some football talk. And we got Scooter on the line, too, so we'll get to him in the next segment because we only have about a minute left here. But I want to shout out the South Alabama women's basketball team, who they were 10-0 going into Thursday. 12-0 is the all-time school record for best start to a season back in 1984. A three-pointer at the buzzer. Well, 2 seconds left in the game on Thursday, they beat New Mexico State. And then yesterday, go into double overtime against Florida International and win that game 84-77. So the South Alabama women's team now 11-0, one game for matching that best all-time record.
Congratulations to Terry Fowler and the Lady Jaguars getting it done, getting ready to go into the new year, trying to get into conference play and continue to build off of that momentum. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Corey LeBounty sitting in for the big guy, Mark Lassiter, in the studio with us. Dalton running the boards. Philip on the phone lines. Give us a call at 251-343-0106. We'll love to hear from you.
Prep Sports Report Radio Network. It's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report, and that's how I learned a little bit of Spanish. Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad.
I know just a bare minimum of Spanish, and that's Feliz Navidad. So Merry Christmas to everybody. Coach, I know you have a special shout-out this morning.
Yeah, I do have a special shout-out. This is to my brother-in-law who's in town.
Okay.
His name is Stacy Waldrop. He's a manufacturing engineer at Madex in Goodwater, Alabama. He and his family are in town for Christmas, and just wanted to give a shout-out to him and his family and appreciate him being down. I can't wait to spend a little time with him this weekend.
Outstanding shout-out there. And, again, you know, my mom always listens 52 weeks out of the year. She's my biggest supporter, my biggest cheerleader. So thanks, Mom, for listening. And Carletta, thanks for listening this morning as well. And I tell you, somebody who listens to us 52 weeks out of the year every Saturday morning is our Saturday morning breakfast is the main man, Scooter. But before we go to Scooter, I want to go and talk with Miss Debbie, who wants to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Miss Debbie, good morning, and thank you for joining us on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales and Communication
Lines. Good morning, my friend. I listen to y'all all the time. I enjoy it. This makes my Saturday morning.
Thank you
and
very
much. I
just
want to say that y'all are doing a great job, and y'all really bringing these kids out really good. So I just want to say have a Merry Christmas and a blessed and a wonderful New Year.
Same to you, Miss Debbie. Thank you very much, and wish you a Merry Christmas and a prosperous Happy New Year as well. So Miss Debbie supports us, and we thank you so much for that support. And someone else who supports us also is our Saturday morning breakfast, and that's the Scooter Man. Scooter, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, Corey. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, buddy.
Good morning, Dalt.
Morning, Scoot.
You know as much Spanish as Scooter knows Kirby and Duck.
What's that, Scooter?
I said, do you know as much trivia as Scooter knows trivia?
Nobody knows as Scooter knows trivia. No one I've ever met in my life knows what you know, Scooter.
What's wrong with my hero Tom Brady lately?
Well, he doesn't have the weapons that they normally surround him with. And the one big weapon they were hoping to come through this time of year, Josh Gordon, might be out of the league
and
for
Gronk
good now.
Gronk is hurting, ain't he?
Yeah, Gronk getting up there in age. I think he was thinking about retirement last year.
Yeah, he's only 39.
Yeah, but he's had some surgeries in the last 10 years,
he's
for sure.
He's getting beat up.
Yeah.
We wish we were 29.
This Ooh, is true. Man, yeah. I know I do. I know I do, Scoot.
Here with the Patriots, they don't have a great running back, do they?
They've got one that could be good in over the next couple years, Sonny Michel, but they've just been dealing with so many injuries. James White, Rex Burkhead.
They wish they had Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, they wish they do. And Christian McCaffrey didn't even make the Pro Bowl this year.
He didn't make the Pro Bowl?
He did not get the vote to get into the Pro Bowl. Unbelievable.
That's sad.
You think he'll get there, though?
As an alternate, I bet you he makes it. Next year, I bet you he'll be voted in. But Christian McCaffrey, Andrew Luck, Kevin Byard, a few names in the NFL that should have been in the Pro Bowl that did not make it.
People don't watch the Pro Bowl that much, though, do they?
I don't think so. I think viewership is down, Scooter.
Well, the highest-rated All-Star game is the NBA All-Star game, ain't it?
I would think so. I mean, NBA is growing as far as from a global standpoint. So, yeah, I agree, Scooter.
What's your trivia for me today for Christmas trivia?
All right, Christmas trivia.
What's the greatest Christmas football game you ever saw?
Hmm. Greatest Christmas football game.
I couldn't tell you.
Me neither.
How about when Miami 27, Kansas City 24, when Gary Premium kicked a field goal?
That was a good one. I don't remember if that was
Scooter,
a good
I'm
one.
I'm going to go with whatever
go
you
with
say.
You, whatever you say, buddy.
I also remember that Kurt Gowdy was the broadcaster. I don't know if y'all remember Kurt
I do
Gowdy.
Remember, do remember Kurt. Yes. All right, you ready, Scoot?
Yes.
All right, here we go. I want you to name one of the two teams that beat Bear Bryant at home in the 25 years he was at Alabama.
Southern Mississippi?
That's correct. Southern Mississippi.
Unbelievable. The other was Florida.
Other was
that
Florida.
Is correct. I mean, got them both.
And Joe Namath coached the game quarterback at Alabama when they lost to Florida.
Wow, Scooter. You never cease to amaze me. I'm
never.
Just so impressed,
Bear Bryant
brother.
Bryant was asked why he went for 2 points. He said, I don't play to tie because the tie is like kissing your sister.
That's exactly right. That's exactly
Scooter,
what he said.
I mean, it's just unbelievable, brother.
And you remember what Joe told him?
Uh-oh.
Coach Bryant, I don't have a sister, so I kiss my brother.
Oh, God.
That's Willie
don't
Joe for
you. What would Joe make today in these high-priced salary leagues?
He would be highly paid.
Have you seen his commercial?
Not his new one. Does he have a new one?
He says, I do something like the Super Bowl. I guarantee it.
I love it, Scooter.
He guaranteed to beat Baltimore, didn't he?
He did. He held true to that, Scooter. Give us that big Scooter pump. Give us a Christmas holiday Scooter pump.
Woo!
Merry Christmas,
God
Merry
bless
Christmas.
Y'all.
God bless you
buddy.
Too, Scooter. It wouldn't be Saturday morning without hearing from my good man, Scooter. He's
no,
our Saturday morning breakfast. And, you know, guys, when you start talking about basketball coming to a full swing here in the beginning of January, we're almost, like Coach Murphy said, only a couple of games in from starting at the end of January, the area tournament. Football just wrapped up, and I know the Call News had some senior superlatives and some player of the years on the 6A, 7A all-area team, Theodore's. You look at Damui Kennedy. Was named the Defensive Player of the Year. And 1A through 5A, Jermaine Brown from St. Luke's was named the Call News Player of the Year. So congratulations to them. And pick up a Call News newspaper. You'll be able to see the 6A and 7A all-area football team as well as the 1A through 5A all-area football teams. And, again, don't forget to go out to Ladd People's Stadium this evening and check out the Dollar General Bowl starting at 6 o'clock p.m. We want to welcome all the Troy fans and Buffalo fans who are in the Mobile, Alabama area, and it should be a wonderful day. It was a little bit frosty this morning, but the sun has come out, a high of 60, and be able to enjoy some great football this evening at Ladd People Stadium.
Going to be some football weather tonight. It'll be a little chilly out there, but it ought to be a really great game. I'm looking forward to it. I'd also like to take a minute to tell some guys some thank yous to a couple guys who are been sponsors with us for a few years now and been just good friends of mine. Robert Deneef at Blue Water Lumber and Marvin Windows, they have been a supporter of ours about 4 or 5 years now, and they're just a great company, great bunch of people. Robert Deneef and Blue Water Lumber, Marvin Windows. Cecil Christenberry at Old Time Feed in Fairhope, another dear friend of mine, and he has just been a supporter of our program for a couple of years now. We really appreciate him. And Misty Whitehead and Chicken Salad Chick in Mobile and Baldwin County, we appreciate you. And I wish all three of y'all and your families a very, very Merry Christmas.
Looking at, again, the Alabama Sports Writers basketball poll, we talked to Philip Murphy and Crystal Johnson. Looking at the boys' 7A poll, Mountain Brook sits atop of that, and they had a huge win down in Florida. They're in a tournament, and they beat IMG Academy, the number two team
wow.
in the country. Mountain Brook was able to knock off. And we talked to Bucky McMillan a couple of weeks ago, and they had just suffered a loss from Winona after being ranked the number one team by Max Preps as far as from a strength the schedule standpoint. So Mountain Brook, congratulations.
And Trendon Watford, he's on Mountain Brook, right?
Yes.
And he's narrowed down his collegiate choice now to four schools, and
that's
Alabama,
right.
One of those on the list. Where does he rank, Corey? Because you're so good at keeping up with these recruits in the state of Alabama. Where do you place him in Alabama high school basketball recruits over the last decade or so? How good are we talking about with Trendon Watford?
I think he's definitely a top 10 player within the last decade, and there's been a plethora of superstars that have come out of the state of Alabama. He's definitely a top 10 player. I mean, he has the total package. He's a young man who's been starting on this varsity team for the last 3 years at Mountain Brook. I think he played his freshman year at Sparkman High School and transferred into Mountain Brook, but he's a special player. I mean, he has the potential to be a McDonald's All-American if he is not going to play in numerous All-Star games. So he's going to be fun to watch here in the conclusion of his senior season.
And you like Avery Johnson's chances of bringing him into Alabama?
I like Avery because, you know, you got John Pelfrey and Petway, Antoine Petway, the assistant coaches. They do a wonderful job. It's going to be hard. Memphis is going to make that push with Penny Hardaway being the head coach there at Memphis. And then you also look at Indiana. His older brother, Christian Wofford, played at Indiana. So there are your ties and your roots there. So it's going to be interesting to see what his decision is going to come down to. But if Avery Johnson's able to keep Trendon Wofford in state, that'll be a tremendous get, not only for this state, but for the Alabama Crimson Tide. I mentioned McGill Tulin in the top 10 polls at number 10. In Class 6A, we don't have any local teams here along the Gulf Coast ranked in the Class 6A poll. In the Class 5A poll, John Davis and his Virgo Wolves are ranked number 9. In Class 4A, Williamson is ranked number 3. No one ranked in the Class 3A poll locally, or the Class 2A poll, or 1A poll. And when you look at the girls' side of things, we talked with Crystal Johnson from Hoover. Of course, her Lady Buccaneers are the number 1 team in girls' basketball. McGill Tulin, Carla Berry comes in at number 3. Charlie Shipp and his Davidson Warriors are ranked number 6. And don't sleep on Foley. Foley has done an outstanding job at 14-2, ranked number 9. In Class 6A, girls' Paul Blunt comes in at number 4. In Class 5A, we don't have any local teams that are ranked. And in Class 4A, we don't have any either locally in 3A, 2A, or 1A. So, you know, girls basketball is definitely not on the decline. We just don't have any girls programs that are being represented at this point in time in the Alabama Sports Writers Association poll.
That's right. And that can change in the month of January as the kids get out of other sports that they've been involved in the fall, volleyball, cross country, swimming, all these things that they may be involved in. They get back in with their teams and start getting together, and they start gelling together, because you know, right now, you know, if you're number 1, it doesn't matter a whole lot. You want to be number 1 in the end of January.
That's right. Yeah. And that's what matters. I know LaFleur's down in Miami playing in the Cruel City Classic, and they took a loss on Thursday night and wasn't able to really see how they did last night as of yet. And I'll keep you updated on that. But anytime you're able to go, Philip Murphy mentioned it, to the national stage. And congratulations for McGill Tulin to be invited to a prestigious tournament like the one they're going to be able to go to next year in Illinois. That just means you're doing something right. You're being recognized as a program that's up and coming. But, Coach, you hit the nail on the head in regards to teams getting their chemistry right. And it's not how you start, it's how you finished. You saw in this past year with Flemington struggling in football, then turn around and they run off 8 in a row and become the 3A state champion. So it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And right now we're coming into a Christmas jingle, getting ready to go into our favorite Camp Grace segment coming up. And you don't want to go anywhere, because Coach Lasseter's been coaching so long, Rick Cleveland's been coaching very long. Here's a coach in Texas. We're going to hear his testimony on what he told his team prior to winning the state championship. You don't want to miss this Camp Grace segment coming up next right here on the Prep Sports Report.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha. I'm Corey LeBounty, sitting in for the big guy Rick Cleveland, who's enjoying his Christmas vacation with his family in Atlanta, Georgia. Want to wish him the best and tell his family we love him and Merry Christmas. Coach Mark Lasseter, Dalton Orwig, Philip on the phone lines, and this is our favorite segment. It's the Camp Grace segment, and want to take the time to wish everyone a very, very Merry Christmas, and know that Jesus is the reason for the season. And in August, everything is bigger in Texas, especially around the beginning of football season. But a high school coach from Newton High School, head coach W.T. Johnston, at the beginning of the season, told his team he may not make it through the season, and he had a very powerful message after his team won the Texas High School State Championship, and just wanted to share that with you this morning on the Camp Gray segment.
You shared an emotional moment with a number of your players before we got a chance to talk to you. How special is this group, and what do they mean to you to be able to do this again?
Well, this has been a long journey. I can't describe it. I'd have to have an hour to tell you. We got together in August right before we started practicing, and I told him I probably wouldn't make it through the season. I was only given 8 months to live, and I wanted him to be aware of what was going on, and then we got a little going, and there's about 2 or 3 weeks during the season I didn't think I was going to make it, and we talked about that, and I always told him this was the last lesson I'm going to teach him. I've been around these guys since, and their dads and their mothers since 1991. And I told them this would be the last lesson I would ever teach them, is how to live to you before you die, and where you put your strength and where you put your belief. The Lord has done so much for me. That's unbelievable what Jesus has let me do and see through these kids. And I tell everybody, they don't understand this. I've been given a great gift, and people just don't understand that. The gift is I've been able to see how my life could affect people before I die. And these guys, I mean, they've touched my life, and it's been a mutual thing. But I've been able to teach them a lesson that you don't get to see most times. And I told them last night, we talked about, they talking about wanting to win for me. This is their time. I've had my time. This is these kids' time. This is all for them. I told them, do it for your teammates. Do it for you. Because 15 years from now, this will be something they can always, they'll always remember this. This will be a special time. I mean, they'll remember me. If I've done right, a part of me is going to live in them. And that's what I've always thought, if I've done things right. I'll try to put things in the right perspective. So I think we're all good on that. I talked to you last year about Newton, special place. Newton's a special place to coach. You can't find a better place. You can't find better people, fans. They've taken care of me. It's unbelievable just today what I've seen. But I've got a great bunch of kids, and they play hard.
They are incredibly lucky to have you, and thank you for allowing us to share this journey with you. Congratulations on the win, and go enjoy it with your team.
Thank you.
That was head coach W.T. Johnston from Newton High School, winning his second consecutive Class 3A Division II state football championship and just laying his faith all out on the line, coach.
Yeah, he did, you know, and that's that is a powerful message to be able to deliver to not only your team but to your family and all of those around you, and now through all the things that we have now, people around the world can hear that story, and that's what we're all in this world for, is to do that to make a difference in somebody's life. And you know, if I start talking about my experience, I don't know if I'll get through it. But I like Coach just said, I'm very fortunate that I was able to live through what happened, and I was able to hear a lot of things that I didn't know about how people felt about me, you know. And it wasn't about me, but it was just that God showed me, he says, you know, this is what you're supposed to be doing. This is it. This is what life's about. It's not about money. It's not about material things. It's not about how much I can get. It's how much I can give. And he reminded me of that. And that is the story that I try to do the best I can today. That's all I can do, is do the best I can, and try to continue to try to make a difference in somebody's life. I don't care if it's just stopping and checking. I learn from other people. Still, I mean, I learned from Phil Lazenby. I watch him when he shakes, and I see him every a few years ago when I first started working with him. We were somewhere, and he shook a guy's hand who was a veteran. Just stopped and shook his hand. A few days later, we were somewhere else. He did it again, and I got to thinking, you know what? I can do that too. You know, now Phil is a veteran, and I can do the same thing, and that's important. But it's not just our veterans. It's everybody we see. And God impressed upon me through the experience I went through, one of the things that I learned, everybody kept telling me, God's not through with you yet. No, he's not. He's not. I got to learn how to do things even better, to be a little bit kinder, to be a little bit nicer, to care a little bit more, to put others first, to try my best every day to do that. I thank God for Prep Sports Report and being able to come on here and share a little bit about what's in our lives, because I think it's important that we do. I don't think especially men share their things in their heart enough, you know. And, you know, Rick, he does.
Yeah.
He pours his heart out into it. He's a big old teddy bear when it comes right down to it. And that's what this show's about.
I agree.
And you know, it's Christmas time,
yes,
Corey. And it's a time of, I had a friend of mine tell me 2 days ago, they're going to have a tough Christmas at their house. And her daughter told her, said, you know, it's not about what we get. It's about us being together.
No doubt about it. You can't take that time away. And, you know, want to thank people like Miss Patty, who's a valuable listener, adult.
Yeah, Miss Patty dropped by yesterday right after Mobile Mornings dropped off. She gave some satsumas and some brownie brittle. I wish I still had brownie brittle left for you guys, but I ate the whole package. And
thanks,
then she,
Dalt.
She's a avid listener of Prep Sports Report, gave us all these nice little Christmas presents. She says she's looking forward to listening to us in 2019. So we want to thank Patty from the Allegri Farm Market out in Daphne. If you get a chance to go see her at the farm market, it's a great place. And we want to thank her for listening to Prep Sports Report, being one of our biggest fans.
No Absolutely. Doubt about it. Just want to thank all our sponsors and everybody who listens to us 52 weeks out of the year on the Prep Sports Report, because it wouldn't be possible without you guys listening to us and without your support. So thank you very much. And just want to take this time to wish everyone a very, very happy and Merry Christmas. And remember, Jesus is the reason for the season. For Corey LeBound and myself, Mark Lassiter, Dalton Orwick, Philip on the phone lines, Merry Christmas, everyone.